More factory shutdowns for Toyota, this time in Europe.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now, the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world? A shortage of parts is again causing the Japanese carmaker Toyota to halt operations at some of its plants. But the earthquake and tsunami in Japan happened more than a month ago. Shouldn't we have known about all the parts shortages by now? From Tokyo, here's the BBC's Roland Burke.
Auto parts are shipped around the world by sea, but huge container ships move slowly. So once the parts get loaded on ships, they can take several weeks before they reach their final destination. Meaning there were tons of parts already on ships and headed for factories around the world before the tsunami stopped production in northern Japan. It's those parts that have been supplying car factories for the past month and preventing shortages thus far. But now the parts shortages are hitting big auto firms like Toyota, and that could carry on for a while. Masahiro Ito is a government official in northern Japan.
Many factories are repairing their equipment. The stocks are running out. It's difficult to meet orders from around the world. Economic losses are not yet clear, but the delay is problematic.
For Toyota, the shutdowns are a big blow. In Japan alone, it suffered a production loss of 250,000 cars since the disaster. And it says it isn't clear when it's going to be able to return to full capacity. In Tokyo, I'm the BBC's Roland Burke for Marketplace.
A new survey by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the OECD, says being a man in Italy or Portugal means spending less time helping out at home than in, say, the United States. The OECD says men and women spend different amounts of time on unpaid work depending upon where they live. Simon Chappell is with the OECD, and he's with us now. Hi, Simon.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well. You looked at unpaid work, you know, these household chores and lawn work and childcare. How did the United States stack up?
There was a gender inequality. Now, over an average day, women do in the States about 100 minutes more unpaid work than men. You can think of the United States as being 20 minutes better than the OECD average per day, that unpaid work gap, but about 20 minutes worse than the best performers.
Where were the worst places for gender inequality?
The biggest differences in unpaid work time between men and women were Portugal, Turkey, and Italy, the Mediterranean. Now, it's also worth pointing out that you can have inequality in unpaid work, but with equality in overall total hours worked. At the same time, you can have inequality in unpaid work and an inequality in total.
So there is a relationship then between unpaid and paid endeavors. What do the results say about the gender equality in the work we get paid for?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, you notice that countries where women work in the paid workforce more, the gender gap in unpaid work is less. I think that's pretty clear. So if you like, as you move towards equality in the workplace, you also tend to move towards equality in the home.
Simon Chappell from the OECD, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are mostly higher at the moment, under 1%. Denim maker Levi Strauss said its profit was down 27% in the last 3 months. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow gave back about 117 points to close at 12,263.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud. By Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at AllyBank.com. And by Manta.com, providing an online destination for small businesses to be found and to find new customers. More online at Manta.com.
More people are moving to big cities around the globe, and that means urban areas are affecting the global economy more and more these days. That's the focus of our Marketplace Globalist quiz, and let's welcome Stefan Richter, publisher and editor-in-chief of theglobalist.com. Good morning, Stefan.
Good morning, Steve. Are you ready for today's quiz?
I am ready. Bring it on.
So my question to bring on is, what share of global GDP do the world's 150 largest cities account for?
Ooh.
150 cities, metro areas, global GDP. Is it 20%, Is it 33%? Is it close to one-half or two-thirds of all economic activity around the world?
Well, 150 largest cities probably accounts for a lot of people on Earth. So I'm going to say the highest number, two-thirds.
You are right.
Wow.
In the future.
In the future.
Currently, that's not correct.
Oh,
and by
my
the way,
goodness.
By the way, the
you
150
got me all excited, Stefan. I was about to do a dance.
Well, and the 150 cities only account for 12% of the global population right now.
So I get, all right, I get another choice here. Let's try half.
Half is correct.
Hey!
So it's four times more than the global population share of cities, which shows you what centers of urban activity and economic activities those cities are. The top growers among those, however, are increasingly from Asia, China, Latin America, and so on, which shows that urban areas are becoming much more important, especially in the emerging market areas, rather than just in the old world like Europe and the United States.
So many. So
the dynamism goes global, and at some point it may be two-thirds. Definitely by 2030, 60% of the world's population will live in urban areas with amazing environmental and infrastructure pressures that involves.
An urbanized planet, exactly. All right. We thank you, Stefan Richter from The Globalist.
Good to have been with you.
Stefan Richter, editor-in-chief of TheGlobalist.com. And finally, China has released new guidelines concerning programming on television, and it's targeting time travel. TV censors there say dramas depicting characters going back in time lack positive thoughts and meaning, that's their words, and can even promote feudalism and fatalism. It's not a ringing endorsement from the Chinese government. So for now, anyway, if you're headed to China and you want to see a show like, say, Quantum Leap or a movie like Back to the Future, you best build your own flux capacitor and send yourself back to before the guidelines were put into effect. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org and on Twitter at Marketplace Radio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Online poker is illegal in this country. Still, last year, Americans collectively bet billions of dollars on the web. Turns out, though, the odds are against us.
There's been a tremendous progress, and actually, in heads-up limit Texas Hold'em, the best odds have surpassed the best professional human players.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Poker-playing robots raise the stakes online. That story next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.